Go ahead.
I'd like to call to order the November 6, 2024 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Beth, do we have anybody joining by phone?
No, sir.
All right, so I'm sure everybody's had the opportunity of reviewing the agenda. Any comments?
Make a motion we adopt the agenda as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. And then same with the minutes from our last meeting. Anyone have any comments, suggested changes?
Make a motion to adopt.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, thank you. All righty. For this evening, no public comments?
No, sir.
Okay. All righty. Getting into old business, Joe, as he has for prior chapters, has reviewed 8, 9, and 10. We had preliminary discussion last month. The intent, hopefully this evening, is to finalize those, as well as revisiting some things around Chapter 15.
Correct.
Okay, Chairman, sir. If I could start that off, there's a few things that I want to walk through and clarify some things for Joe and then Joe. You all can jump in anytime you want, but I think it might be efficient if I start us off.
Sure.
Now, I'm going to look at the, you've got the agenda docs in your hand, on your screens, I guess. I'm going to take them chapter by chapter, but the page numbers I'm going to refer to are the page numbers at the bottom of my document, not the agenda page number. So if you want to go to 8, first of all, I didn't change any of the syntactical notes that Joe had made. They're all, I didn't change any of them. But we did it based on some of your instructions and based on some information that you didn't have. Joe, there were some civil penalty amendments that were finalized by council in June, which did not go through PCC. And they, of those civil penalty text amendments, one concerned the dog issue about the amount of the penalty, and another one that was relevant concerned all those, in 8.06, all those fire safety. I'll discuss them when we get to them, but for that reason, you know, you didn't know that, so what you had in the in your text amendments was outdated, obsolete, and irrelevant.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Chapter 8, I don't think I've got too many comments. If you go to, well, Beth, this one's for you. On page 6 of 17, of chapter 8, I couldn't figure out the bullets. We eliminated paragraph 1, and I couldn't figure out how to read number 2 and 3, but I left you a note about that.
Okay.
I hate bullets.
Okay, 6 of 17.
You go to page 10, Commission, and you look at right after 804.020, you'll see my bracket discuss removal of 806. 806 was a string of fire regulations. There must have been 5 or 6 provisions. And in the current, prior to the text amendments I brought forward in June, there was a lot of inconsistency with the penalty provisions. Each one had its own, it was just a mess. So what I did on 8.06 when I did the civil penalty text amendments in June, was I stripped all the provisions out of the, I stripped the penalty provisions out of the existing regulations, and I entered, and I inserted a new section at the end of 806 that simply put the enforcement penalty in there, and that's also on the fee schedule. I forget what the amount of the penalty is, but there's nothing to change in there.
Okay, so Jim, you're not removing 806. You're just removing it from my presentation.
That's right.
Correct, gotcha.
That might be, there's one more for chapter 8. The very last page, 17 and 17. My bracket says, and I knew right, Joe, I should have put I removed. 8.12, that was the.
Right.
Vessels stranded in waterways or something like that.
Yeah, and that was based on our discussion last month.
Right, council had already taken care of that. Chapter 9.
Before you go off of 8, Jim, on page 2, you also added that item G. G1 and G2.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. Every zoning ordinance has a public nuisance section, and all those public nuisance sections usually enumerate the nuisances, and it primarily always based on the statutory language. You could pull 5 different zoning ordinances, and you'll probably see the same public nuisance regulations, and they enumerate usually the same public nuisances. And as a matter of fact, you can see those in black on this page, subsections B through F. Those are pretty traditional. But they don't always capture a public nuisance. In other words, if it's not in that list, you got a situation, you got to try to fit it into your enumerated public nuisances. One of the things I did for another town was add a provision that you see in G that kind of broadens the scope of a public nuisance and captures things that may not be set forth clearly or which you may not be able to fit clearly into what's already in the ordinance. Again, B through F being examples of that. My suggestion, unless you have some problems with that, is for me to carry this insertion text amendment over to council and they look at the syntactical changes. Board agrees on that?
Anybody has any issues?
Okay.
Good.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Joe, for reminding me.
So, Joe, nothing else on 8?
Oh, yeah. Let's go through all Jim's and we'll come back.
Okay.
Anything else on 8?
Well, would you like me to do my things now on 8, or you want to go through your big ones and then we'll come back to my little ones?
Let me just walk through my changes real quick. On 9, if you look at page 3, you'll see the bracket starts at the top of the page, the bracket starts at the citation and ends after schedule. The point being that this is already addressed in the civil penalty text amendments I referred to. I think it's $100. Yeah, it is $100, and that's already in the fee schedule. So there wasn't anything to change on that.
So you're removing that statement?
Yeah. Anytime you see a bracket for me that says removal, it just means that that's the way I've handled it.
Okay.
In the syntax. Page 6 of 6. Let's see. If you look at B, the current code has subparagraphs 1 and 2. And you just don't need all of that. The intent is to be able to enforce. These are animal regulations, livestock regulations. The gist of what's going on here, if you look at number 1 that I've struck out, those are provisions in the front of the code that one of them sets forth, it's 802 that sets forth the general civil penalty, and 108.10 sets forth the criminal penalty. The criminal penalties really don't get anywhere because you're kind of hemmed in by some statutory language that we don't need to get into tonight. So I simply shortened all that to refer to 802, which is the public nuisance enforcement remedies, which gives you a wide range of enforcement actions. You can take them to court, you can issue civil penalties, you can get an order of abatement. If you have to pay for it yourself, you can put a lien on the property to get those charges back to the town. And it's just a lot more efficient to go to reference those public nuisance enforcement remedies rather than all that stuff that's set forth in 1 and 2. 802 covers everything in 1. Any questions on Chapter 9?
No.
Chapter 10, page, we're going to start on page 3. If you look at the bottom, I simply took out G as instructed by the commission last time.
I have some discussion on this.
Well, you can come again. I'm almost finished.
Okay.
So if we can come back to that, that's fine. But my notes indicated to remove that, and that's what I did. The next one is page 9. 9 sets forth parking, 9, on page 9, whatever this citation is, if you just go to C on that page, these are, this sets forth the violations for parking violations. And the 35 comes from the agreement that's reached annually with the paid parking company that the town contracts with. The 250 is for handicapped parking. Now, there's a lot of language in here that I've added, which I think is important to add. It comes straight from the statute that provides for 20-37.6. And I think some of that language is pretty useful. The statute provides that when, in particular, whenever evidence shall be presented in any court of the fact that any vehicle is found to be illegally parked in a properly designated handicapped parking space, it shall be prima facie evidence in any court that the vehicle is parked and left in the space by the person, firm, or corporation in whose name the vehicle is registered and licensed. I think including this language might one day help us streamline an enforcement action. Without that language, you could have an operator that's parked illegally, but an owner that disputes that they're liable for that. This just takes all that ambiguity out and tells us that it's evidence accepted in any court that the vehicle, that the person to whom the vehicle is registered is liable for that violation as well. So I think that's a useful tool that we may need someday.
Can I jump in very quickly on that one? Mm-hmm. We've got a real problem at the university because it turns out that probably 80% of the handicapped spaces are taken up by students using their dead grandmother's handicap. Or I also found that, and you can buy it online, you can buy handicap stickers online because nobody checks. You know, so you can buy them online, you can put them there, and you can go to Costco or whatever and park in the handicap slot.
It probably
comes
from Russia.
It could, but, you know, I mean, if your grandmother dies and she's got a handicap, you can put it online and make $100. You know, and sell it to students. So it's well known in the student population. Now, I don't know how it's well known everyplace else, but how would that affect a situation like that where, you know, they're using dad's automobile and they go out and buy a fake handicap sticker and then park?
Well, I can't say how the police deal with that, but there's several things that jump out at me. First of all, it's fraud.
No, I agree, but in terms of what you're suggesting, in terms of the phrasing of that particular handicap issue.
Or even better, a handicap license plate that's parked illegally.
This provision deals with illegally parking in a handicap spot. I don't really know off the top of my head how you enforce fraudulent use of handicap placards. Boils down to the same thing,
No, I agree, but then the students go out and get it unbeknownst to, I mean, my daughter uses a car that's registered to me. She could very easily do this. I mean, she's not, hopefully, but she could very easily do this, and all of a sudden, if we write it that way, then I'm responsible for that, for her illegally parking 30 miles away.
This comes from the North Carolina General Statutes.
Okay. No, I'm just raising the issue because it's a real problem at the university where, or places that there are a lot of young kids. Let's put it that way.
I we had talked about having the police department come in on some sort of presentation. I think it was e-bikes or something. That's a question that might be better directed towards them, because I don't know the answer to that, except for the fact that they'd be illegally parked, and the statute says you can go after
the owner of the car.
The owner of the car.
Yeah.
The next one would be on the next page, page 10. You'll see in subparagraph 2, failure to meet the deadline shall result in a late fee as set forth on the town fee schedule. And of course, it wasn't on the fee schedule. Update on this, council on during their November 18th meeting will consider a text amendment that deletes that provision. And I'm pretty sure they're going to adopt that text amendment. So it's not going to be the whole provision. It's going to be the, and I didn't have a chance to revise this based on that late agenda addition, but bottom line is we're going to end up deleting the last three sentences from the bottom up on subsection 2. If council adopts that amendment, and again, I have every reason to believe that they will.
Okay.
The next one would be the next page, page 11. If you note the my comment, Joe had raised some questions about the last three sentences of subsection 1, but my notes indicate that we were going to leave this until later being construed as after the syntactical text amendments are dealt with. So
well,
y'all might want to come back to that, but that was, I followed the notes that I made that during the last meeting. The next page would be 15. At the very top,
bottom of 14, Jim, you have a discuss.
14, have I got something? Oh, there's more. We had already covered handicapped parking in the parking violation section that we discussed 5 or 10 minutes ago. And I think there may be more handicapped spaces than what's set forth here. So since the code in a previous section already set forth the penalty and quoted the language of 20-37.6, and also didn't set forth the penalty but simply referred you to the statute, and if you look at the statute, they have a range of penalties from 100 to 250, and it's so ambiguous, and there's a lot of ambiguity in that statute. And our code already provides for 250, which the statute seemed to authorize. But I just took that section right out. I don't see the need for it since we already addressed it, and it's not very clear if we leave it in. Page 15, at the very top, I've specified the amount of the penalty, and I've got a memo to advise Arlen to add that to the fee schedule. That's parking violation during a state of emergency. And I confirmed that with council last month. At the bottom, 10-12-0-22, my notes indicate, and you'll see the question mark, leave for now police presentation. I want to make sure we're all on agreement on this, because I've got e-bike, as you all know, I've got e-bike text amendments that were already approved by council. So it might be wise to get the police department in here during the next meeting, and we can make sure that how we handle 10-12-0-10-B is, not B, 10-12-0-22 at the bottom. I want to make sure that's consistent with the text amendments that council already adopted about e-bikes on the beach. I don't want a definition that's different from the definition that's in the beach vehicle provision and creates therefore inconsistency between the two definitions. The next one's on page 17, R penalty, which is, I think, a penalty for bicycle regulations, for violating bicycle regulations. All that stuff in the middle is not necessary. It's all that stuff is addressed in chapter 1 of the code. It's magic language that you all may be interested. Code enforcement penalties actually go to the school board unless the statute, unless the code has magic language in it, which means in collecting it in the nature of the debt. As long as you got that magic language, the town gets to keep the proceeds. Otherwise, if those proceeds are the property of the school board, that language is already set forth in chapter 1, so there was no need to be redundant with it in this part. And then the last one is on page 18. We definitely decided, and I hope we are humane, definitely decided to handle taxi cabs at a later date because that's so comprehensive. But I don't see any reason why you couldn't go forward with the syntactical notes to Joe. So Joe, I'll turn it over to you now, and I'm going to sit down.
Right.
Anything, the real estate sign is fine.
And Jim, you didn't have anything on 15?
No, that's prudent to move it as Joe suggested. There's some comments on it.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to go back to 8. And I'm not going to discuss all the things that I discussed last time. I mean, you know, there's the syntactical things. There were a few editorials that were made. I'm going to go through and just touch on anything that I'm aware of that changed other than what Jim just talked about from our last meeting. If that's acceptable to council, you think that presentation is okay, Jim? Just the other changes that I have?
Yeah, I'm not sure why you have other changes.
You'll see.
Had discussion, we had changes, and this is reviewed and passed on to council. But I'm to say that I'm curious why we have additional changes, I am.
Okay.
We shall see.
Start on page 2.
Referring to my page number?
Your page numbers, yes. Page 2. Under C and D, recyclables is spelt wrong. Oh, so did I. Recyclables is an existing word. Recyclables. Recyclables.
Okay.
In those two places. Okay. Item G that you added. You talk about a requirement on subsection 1 and 2. Those, according to the, the preamble, are called subparagraphs, not subsections. And that should, we've been capitalizing the S in subparagraphs as we go through.
Are these sub-paragraphs?
No, they're sub-paragraphs under the subsection. So they're called sub-paragraphs according to the, is it the preamble or the preface, whatever the front document is
Can
called?
Can we get the preamble or the preface up on the screen? I'd like to see that.
It's the preface.
Now you're talking about chapter 1, right?
No, it's before chapter 1.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You're talking about the beginning.
And then you could look at the middle of the fourth paragraph on that page. It has the word subparagraph in quotation marks.
I guess I'm focused on this, the last series designated section. And so therefore anything sub to the section to me, in my experience as a lawyer, subsection. So let's see what this says. forego the naming of each list item as granular reference legislation that employs Alvin. Wow, I'll just have to read that on another day.
Yeah, I didn't write that one.
I don't know. If you're going to change subsections to subparagraphs, I imagine there's hundreds of them throughout the code.
No, I'm not changing subsections to subparagraphs. The subsection is the fourth designation as per the bullets above. If you have a fifth designation, that's the subparagraph.
So walk me through G again.
G states, any condition on a property meeting the requirements of subsections 1 and 2 below.
And what do you say it should be?
Subparagraphs, because they are the fifth indent.
All right, fine.
All right. Okay, turn some pages. On page 8,
how is it the fifth? I'm confused.
Okay.
It's not.
I've got 8. Oh, where are we? I'm on the wrong page. Sorry. Back up to where I was. Starts with 8. Then it goes to 02. Then it goes to 010. Then it goes to G. Then it goes to 1. That's 5. 8.
I think it means
it's within that one.
I thought it was in that within that one section, 802.010. So it would technically be the third indent.
Why don't we just say any condition meeting the requirements below?
That works.
There you go.
All right,
what's next?
I think I was on page 8 on the top in 802.070.
Where were you at 8 at the top?
At the top, 802.070. What I have been doing throughout all the other presentations, wherever we have a dollar amount that is set forth on the town fee schedule, I've been taking the dollar amount out of this document so it's not referenced in 2.
Yeah, I should have mentioned, once upon a time, the council wanted, probably 2 years ago, council instructed me to make sure that the civil penalties in the code were set forth on the fee schedule. When we had that discussion, they told me they wanted it set forth both places. So you're right, I didn't mention it in my presentation, but I have captured, as far as I was able to capture,
okay,
setting it forth in both places.
Okay, so I will not continue to take it out. And we've done.
But we have taken it out.
Yeah. I thought they just, I disagree. I think they said, I can look back at my minutes, but I thought we were
only going to list it on the fee schedule.
Only going to list on the fee schedule because we felt like some fees were constantly changing and going back and forth. So we're only going to list it.
And that creates the inconsistency.
I thought we were going to see like reference there, but like reference the fee schedule.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry, Jim.
Sorry.
Yep. All right, so we're taking the dollar amount out.
Taking out the up 25 and just say penalty in the amount as set forth on the town fee schedule.
Correct.
All right, so the same thing appears on page 10 in 804.020. Got to take out the $250.
Let me catch up with you, please. Feel like you caught for 8 through 10 the instances where I reinserted the amount.
Yeah, I think there's a few more.
All right, and what's the second one you just did?
Page 10,
mm-hmm.
804020. It has $250 in there. And those are the only ones that I have on Chapter 8. Everything else was either previously discussed or so minimal it doesn't need to be.
Okay.
All right, on Chapter 9, I think I need it. No, I don't have anything else on Chapter 9. You answered my question previously. Chapter 10. Chapter 10 on page 3, where you took out item G, and yes, you did follow the notes from last meeting because we had a discussion on it. I remember we talked about, well, how do you ever get into an Uber if you can't get something off the street? But I discussed this with Chief Bowden and Brandon, and if you look at what it's talking about here, it's soliciting or seeking a ride. It's not if you call an Uber and you go out and you meet your car, or you call a taxi and you go out and meet your car. This is like if you live in the city and you're hailing a taxi that's riding down the street, which we don't do here.
Mm-hmm. Or hitchhiking.
Right? Or putting your thumb out for hitchhiking. Or their biggest mm-hmm. concern is the increase in homelessness. So they prefer that we keep item G in the ordinance. So we could have discussion on that, but that's what they prefer.
If that's the commission's consensus, I'll put it back in. So why don't the commission tell me if they want to do that?
I'm fine. Put it back in.
Yeah. Any objection? Mm-hmm. Yes, let's put it back in, Council.
Mm-hmm. Removing the fee?
No, they want the whole section back in.
But there's this.
And remove.
Well, and there's also the $10, it would just say as per the town fee schedule.
Mm-hmm. I'll eliminate the fee and I'll make sure Arlen puts it on the schedule.
Okay. On page 4.
Before you leave, can you go on to 8-3?
On the same page, under age, number 3 has a penalty
amount. Yeah, that's where I was going next. Okay. On page 9.
Before you had the
where are you?
Okay. The dollar amount, right? 426.
426.
The H3. The dollar amount's noted.
Yeah, that's what they just talked about,
okay.
$50.
Okay.
What page are we going to?
Page 9. Okay, now in item C, we talked about that. We have the $35 and the $250. Now, the $35 is our parking fee, so I think that should be set forth on the town fee schedule.
It is.
Right. So we should take $35 off of here. Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But now the $250 is per the general statute. That's not really per our ordinance, correct?
Correct, and because that general statute actually gives different, as I said, it's ambiguous and it has different penalties for different things. I couldn't even tell the difference. Because one is 100 and one is 250, you might want to specify 250 because of the statute.
Right, so I was going to suggest leaving the 250 in this paragraph. Cause, okay. And then the last part of the stuff you added, Jim, it says, according to the record of the division. What division? Okay, motor vehicle, DMV, as long as we don't have to wait in line. All right. Page 11. My concern of those three statements that are in that big paragraph A1, I have a fix for that. If we just break them out of that paragraph and make them their own paragraph, we don't even have to reword them. We could keep them in there, but just put them in the next paragraph and title it something like right-of-ways, because those are three property owners' rules of right-of-ways. They really don't have anything to do with parking in the right-of-way. They have to do with the property owner not planting stuff in the right-of-way, not blocking the right-of-way. So if we kind of break it out from A1, make it A2, ABC, then I think it makes perfect sense to me. Because they're there for a reason. We're talking about parking in the right-of-way, and then we're saying what the property owner cannot do in the right-of-way, which allows parking there. So it makes sense to keep that, just a little bit of reorganization of the sentences.
Well, be specific. You've got structures, period. You would do the paragraph break at property?
Right, at property.
And then, so that would be the start of subsection 2, correct?
Correct.
And how would it, so property owners are specifically prohibited from, then you put a colon?
I would make number 2 say right-of-ways.
I don't know what you mean when you say number 2 right-of-ways.
All right, you see how A says parking in general and manner of parking?
Yeah.
So have a 2 and say right-of-ways, and then 3 subs under that.
Look at your numbered subsections 2 and 3 and 4. I think you're talking about making it a B. Two, three, four, five, and six don't have the same heading like A does. Sounds to me like you want to make it subsection or whatever it is. Subsection B, and what was the language you wanted to use? Right of ways?
Right of ways.
Do you see what I'm saying?
I think that would work also.
So let's just make sure. You can, this provision goes on for 3 pages. And the formatting of that, of moving it, sounds simple, but it would eat up a lot of time. Is there a different section we could move that to? First of all, let's make sure we understand what's being regulated. Property owners are specifically prohibited from. Is the rest of the language okay with you? Barricading or roping off any portion of the right of way or posting signs therein? Can we just do that as one sentence?
Yeah. We could just leave it the way it is and simply say to something like as a lead in to where property owners must keep the unpaid portion. Something like for this purpose, property owners. So we're tying the statement about what they can do with their property to, in fact, the parking on the right-of-way, allowing parking on the right-of-way, rather than trying to create a whole new section for it. Just simply mm-hmm. say, get some lead-in type of phrase there that connects what's above with the property restrictions. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Because that tells you why in the
why
parking
it's there.
Section
yeah,
there
why, just why, and without moving limits. Things around. Yeah, yeah. Just some sort of a lead-in phrase.
Please provide the lead-in phrase.
For this purpose works, right?
I mean, it could, but for this purpose, property owners must keep unpaid portions. So right before, after KBC 15, period, say, for this purpose, property owners must keep unpaid portion.
Wait, for what purpose?
Well, it's, we're talking about...
The purpose of them keeping the right-of-way clear is not for them to park on it. That's, so if you're saying that
That's not the purpose for them to have to keep the right of way clear. It's not their property, it's town property. What they're saying is it's allowing them to park on the town property in front of their property, in front of their property.
Right, but then we're saying that they have to keep it clear.
Yes.
So all I'm saying is, rather than trying to make another section and do that sort of thing, just to be able to tie property owners must keep the unpaved portion of the right-of-way, you know, that sort of thing, tie it to why we're asking them to do that. Just simply a little phrase right there that ties it to the sentence above.
I disagree, because I think that's pretty much telling them that to keep it clear so you can park there. That's not the purpose of them having to keep it clear.
True.
I think this was just added, that bottom part about keeping it clear and planting and groupings, because we were having a major problem with that.
But people were doing it to prevent people from... But people were doing that to prevent passengers from being able to park. I mean, that's the reason why this was added, is that people were putting little barriers there so people couldn't park
right
within the right-of-way. So I can see why it's in this section. It's just that what you're trying to do is kind of a little awkward. That's all.
Yeah, I disagree, because I don't want people to just think that that is for them to park in.
So
it's their property.
We
do require them to mow the lawn there and maintain it, but it needs to be open for emergency vehicles, for public works and things like that. They are allowed to park there. We do allow them to park there. But it is not their parking. It is not the required parking for the property.
No, but we're requiring it to keep open so people can park there. Their passenger.
That's not the reason we're keeping it.
Well, I think that's the way it's written, though. You know, I think passenger vehicles may be...
It's the public right-of-way. It's for utilities, drainage ditches, things like that.
It should be
put... We just allow people to park there, but it's town property. It's part of the public right-of-way. We could put sidewalks there. We can kind of do whatever we want to.
Yeah, it should be some. It's more like where we define what we do with setbacks. We should talk about right of ways there, because that's I think more where it belongs than in parking. But I understand what you're saying. The reason it was put here.
Only about your property, it has nothing to do with the town right of way.
Yeah.
So your property starts after the town right of way, and that's where your setback starts.
Yeah.
So this is really, we're just talking about
the road.
Part of the roadway that is unpaved, where we put utilities, where we put sidewalks, things like that. And we allow people to park there. We don't have to allow people to park there.
I honestly don't have a problem leaving it the way it is.
Yeah, I think it's
kind of created controversy.
Let's leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
Jim, take your any follow-up notes off there. We'll just leave it.
Okay.
Just leave it. All right. On page 15, up at the top, we again have the amount of $75. Now, on that same page, under the 10-12-10-A, riding on handlebars, I had a note in my my notes from last month that we were going to strike out, in the second line it says, when upon any street of the town. Because do we care if somebody's in their back? Well, we do care, but should the ordinance govern someone in their backyard riding on a bike handlebar, or somebody in their driveway riding on a bike handlebar? We care about them being on our town streets riding on a handlebar.
Why did you say, though, that you wanted to delete upon any street?
Because it says it's unlawful to ride on a handlebar when you're in the street.
Well, that's what you want.
That's what I want. Thank you. Sorry. That's what I want. Sorry. Did we discuss item B before, hands on the handlebars? Okay, that's dropped, and the chief said that's okay to drop. No problem, it's dropped. Keep in, we talked about that. You talked about the police presentation about the e-bikes, Jim. Would you like me to try to set that up for our January meeting, or is somebody else going to set that up?
Well, you can, if the commission wants to add it to an agenda, that's fine, and somebody can take the lead in asking the police to come.
Can I ask a question? I think I raised this issue last time. Are we getting into an area where it's not really the purview of the commission, the Planning and Zoning Commission? I mean, I think this is important, but maybe the presentation about e-bikes should be to the town council, not to the P&Z.
I think we need to hear from the police. Again, council recently adopted text amendments for 1006-040 vehicles on the beach strand, and there's a definition of e-bikes in there, which Brandon okayed.
But I think, wasn't there some disagreement, Joe?
Well, yeah, this item two is a new statement that was requested to be put in by Chief and Brandon, and there was disagreement when I presented it last month.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to them, and they said, no, they want it left in. So
it's really just a note to council that there's an issue that needs resolution?
Is I'm not sure it needs resolution.
Well, I think the discussion was, I do remember, the second statement says an electric bike without pedals is considered a moped. Mm-hmm. But mopeds have to be registered through the North Carolina DMV.
Okay.
So they have to have a license plate, et cetera, and insurance. I don't think that's an electric bicycle. Then you're labeling all electric bicycles are mopeds.
Without pedals.
And not without pedals.
Mm-hmm. Right. An electric bike without pedals is
a
moped.
Like the little scooters you can't have.
Those aren't electric bikes.
Yeah.
Well,
so, I don't think the sentence makes sense.
I don't think it makes sense, but I mean, if police department's happy.
Why don't we take it out and you can tell the police department if they don't like it, they can come up with a text amendment and we'll consider it.
Okay.
I think that one would just be separate from the syntactical.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Are we leaving it? Or
take it out separate from syntactical.
Yeah, we're deleting it, right, Joe?
Yes.
And then if the police wants an ordinance, they can come.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah, just another question. I don't want to belabor this issue, but at being a university, you see a lot of people riding stuff around, obviously. And I can think of, you know, little scooters that they have, you know, little two-wheeled scooters that they have that they self-propel with their foot. Technically, that's propelled by human power. So if I'm on one of those little two-wheel tandem things that looks like a skateboard, but it's two wheels, and I'm pedaling, or not pedaling, but skating along, that by this would be...
My brother has one. E-bike either, though.
Mm. And then you have one wheels too. You have those
you have those one wheel things too. So,
but you're acting like it's not electric at all.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could have them electric or not electric, but mm-hmm. if it's propelled by, but even the electric ones, you can still propel with human power by, you know, like a skateboard.
Yeah, but this is somewhere else.
No, I'm just saying that it might.
I think you should let the police department come up with why they want this definition.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I believe that there are instances where people will modify an e-bike where they only have pegs and no pedals. Hmm. You understand a peg is something you put your feet on, a motorcycle or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the definition of an e-bike has pedals. You remember, you can either pedal it and get assistance, or you can have an e-bike where you don't need to pedal for the assistance. But that's, I think, look, the state definition of an e-bike and they just want to prevent people from modifying e-bikes in a position where they're more motorcycle than they are e-bike.
Right.
Because again, some of these e-bikes can be modified to do 60 miles an hour.
Right. Oh, people are getting hurt every single day at UNCW. I mean, there's people being carried off by ambulances every day being hit by these things.
Yeah. I mean, I think you should pursue this with the police department.
I agree. Yeah. And I think I'm going to ask them also to include the other type of vehicles. I don't know, the bikes, yeah. Wheelies, whatever they're called.
What wheels?
Yeah. Not just pick on mopeds. Let's get everything in here that they can.
Yeah, so just give them some.
I'm not saying pick on, but don't just choose one.
Just
yeah,
some.
Yeah, no, but I don't think. Well,
see what they come.
You're perfect.
But just a summary of our conversation and the fact that that's something for them to take on.
Yes.
Okay. So are we not making any changes on this section?
We're striking item two. Take it out.
Yep.
Okay.
And then suggesting that a presentation be made to council or us?
That, I don't know.
I think it should be made to council.
I think it should be council. The only reason this came up is because some of the syntactical changes I was making led into other changes, and I showed it to the police department, and they added this. Yeah, so this was an add-on, so let's...
But that's a text amendment they need to develop to present to council.
That's correct. So I'm going to take out two.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes.
All right.
Anything else? All right. Page 17. Right in the middle, under R penalty, we have the $25 in there.
We gotta get here.
But we need to. You have specified in crossed out, Jim, for the town fee schedule. So we gotta reverse that, kind of.
Yeah, it's set for $4.
Yeah.
Good catch.
All right. I think I'll turn in.
That might be it.
Oh, page 21, Jim. Right, I realize that, but on item C3 on 21 talks about the annual license fee, and we said we couldn't charge that, so we were going to take that item out. I don't care one way or the other because we don't have any taxi cab companies.
So we're eliminating 3 and numbering 4?
Yes. All right, that's all I have on 10, but I do have one on 15, and that's $50. Okay. And that... Those are the only changes that I have since last time, and combined with yours, Jim. So I guess we need to recommend moving these forward or not.
Yes, nice work, Joe, and Council. So, any comment on what's been presented?
It's getting old.
Okay. So, do I have a motion to adopt these changes as?
Well, do we adopt the changes
or recommend the changes as presented?
I'll make a motion to recommend the changes to council as presented.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Thank you. All right. The next and last item under old business would be the continued discussion of future P&Z initiatives. And Craig has also, since last meeting, provided us with an email that went into further detail on two particular issues that I know he wants to talk about tonight.
You know, technically three issues. And, you know, again, thinking about the planning perspective of planning and zoning, you know, kind of thinking ahead. You know, I think over the last, you know, 20, 30 years that P&Z has anticipated a lot of potential issues. And I think we've covered a lot of really interesting things that might come up. So I'm thinking of things that maybe we want to look at right now. And obviously flooding, rising sea levels and all these type of things will have an impact. I mean, there's no question about it. You know, we obviously saw it with the flood. And I remember that right after that, there was a resident who came to the town council meeting and said, well, you know, we should have more permeable materials allowed. And I know that we do and have talked about this in the past. And so I'm just wondering if there's something that we might want to look at in terms of providing incentives to having more permeable materials like in driveways and all that sort of thing. We already have it, but I wonder if it's something that we may want to look at. I'm not going to suggest anything now. I'm just kind of still throwing out ideas about permeable materials. There's a whole bunch of interesting technologies that can be put out there, and that might help with some of the drainage if we have any sort of flooding like what we had last time. So I just want to raise that issue. The other issue really isn't a P&Z issue. It's the rising sea level issue. And, you know, I probably will approach the town council with what I wrote in that email, because I think it is something that the coastal communities need to start looking at right now. And I spent about an hour doing research as to what other countries were doing. I found some very interesting things in terms of how they're trying to manage or anticipate the rising sea levels over the next 10 or 20 years or so. And, you know, obviously that state statutes prohibit us from doing some certain things now. And really, I think it's about time. I mean, this has slipped in before this really became an issue. It was slipped in by the environmental concerns, that sort of thing. But I think it's about time that perhaps the coastal communities start to talk to the maybe think about trying to change that, because I think we will have to do something, or we're going to have houses fall into the ocean. I mean, there's no question about it.
I don't know that we want to step back on environmental concerns. A lot of that stuff was put into place, and we just tried to do a more green initiative last year. So to like step back and say that.
No, I'm not saying that we're going to step back on environmental issues. Well, no, what the state statute says, you can't have hardened. Okay, now, that was put there by the environmental. So I'm not saying we're trying to be non-environmental, but I think if we don't do something about that... Yeah, but I personally think that if we don't do something about that, we're going to lose 2 or 3 blocks of Curie Beach in the next 10 or 20 years. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And we're already seeing houses fall in other communities in North Carolina. Every time there's a hurricane or every time there's high waters, I mean, there's more and more houses falling into the ocean. And if you're going to have a rise of 1 to 3 feet, I think this is going to become a real serious issue. And again, it's not something that P&Z should consider, but I am going to make that, I think, argument to town council that maybe people ought to start reconsidering that absolute prohibition about hardening the coast, or else, I mean, we will lose property. There's no question about it.
Well, I think that's something that needs to be taken up to state legislature.
No, I agree, but I think the town council, the communities, may want to kind of band together and then talk to state legislature. You know, it's not something that I don't think an individual state legislator would want to bring up without getting consensus of something from the town communities, the coastal communities. There's also consultants that specialize in this, too. And so, you know, maybe the town might want to consider talking to one of the, you know, consulting groups that specialize in how to manage rising sea levels in coastal communities. So anyway, I mean, it's up to the town council. It's not something really P&Z can do. But I do want to raise that particular issue.
So you're just going to go as just an independent
citizen? Yeah, I'm just going to go and say I think that this is something they ought to consider, or else 10 to 20 years from now, we're going to start losing houses. I don't think there's any question about that. So the final issue has to do with solar panels. I think that was a little thing I had in there, too. About 10 years ago or so, we implemented I think it's called solar energy part of our ordinance. And there have been some developments in solar panels now. There's flexible solar panels. There's a lot more integration of solar panels into the building materials. We kind of accounted for that, but I think there's some very, very minor changes in language that might be made. And so I'd like to kind of get permission to maybe suggest some minor changes in the language. For example, I think we prohibit solar panels coming within 12 inches or something of the eaves, and I think that can be changed with some of the technology. right now. Are you pulling it up?
I'm trying. It's in 15, right?
Yes, I believe it is.
But that, so that
we just added something to solar panels, right?
Well, I know we did the batteries.
Well, no, we just did kind of the
battery thing. That's right.
Yeah, the battery thing. This has to do with, this was generated by the state passed a statute that said you can't prohibit solar panels, but it was kind of not very well written. And so, like, within a month or so, we kind of developed our own that fit within the state statutes right there. But that was 10 years ago, and there's been some new developments in the technology. You can have solar panels that are in cloth now, so you can have awnings and solar panels. You can have umbrellas and solar panels. There's a lot more integration of solar panels into building materials and that sort of thing. And we try to account for that. If you look at the very last paragraph in that ordinance, we try to account for it, but there's one or two kind of things that perhaps we could change in there.
So that would be a planning and zoning
issue. That would be a planning and zoning issue.
And would you like that as a topic for next meeting?
Yeah, and if it's okay, I'll go ahead and suggest minor changes that would account for modern technologies.
Okay, so Beth, can we add that for next month?
Well, that was going to be my next question. Are you guys having a meeting for December or pushing it off to January when you have to organize?
Oh, I don't mind pushing that off to January. This is not important.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess the broader question is, are we still meeting in December?
Right now you have no items of business that I'm aware of. Your January will be your big meeting when you do your organizational.
Yeah. That was, currently it's scheduled for December 4th at 6 p.m.
December 4th.
We usually cancel it December
24th. You normally cancel it in pass if you don't have any business.
Yeah, I don't think we canceled it last year, but I think we had some stuff that we knew we wanted to continue to address.
We couldn't cancel it last year because John Batson had something he had to have on there.
Yeah, right.
But normally it is canceled for December.
You should cancel.
If there's
Yeah, I'll make a motion to cancel
Second.
For December.
Okay. That's quick. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Alrighty, well, so
you know, something right. should.
Yeah. Can you go ahead and reschedule your? I should have put it on the agenda, but just go ahead and reschedule your January meeting as well, because it falls on January the 1st, and we are closed.
Yeah, and we're doing that the same as the HPC.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's gonna be
the same.
Yeah. So make a motion to reschedule that.
Yeah. Do I have a motion to reschedule the January meeting to January 8th?
So moved.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Right. And so we'll put the solar panel thing on that one. Okay.
Yeah. I'll put it on for January.
Already that.
Hey, Craig, I know you've been doing a lot of research and coming up with some good ideas on here, but I just like to suggest maybe rather than throwing like last month, and we didn't even talk about it, there were eight ideas on here. Mm-hmm. If we just hit one at a time.
Well, that's what I'm suggesting.
Yeah.
Solar panels. Right. You know, I'll okay. do some other ones.
Because that gives us time to look into it also, so we can have an intelligent conversation.
Right. No, and I may have another one the following time, you know, like permeable materials.
Right.
Perfect. So, you know, we'll kind of walk through some of these suggestions.
Just keep in mind, this is PNC research, not attorney research.
No, I understand. That's why I said I would do it. Like, we used to do it. Like, for the last 20 years, we wrote half these ordinances.
Yeah, we got you.
But it all comes back.
I should have said that.
Yeah, tell me.
So we can't spend money on utilities either, huh?
Yeah. Somebody's trying to tell us something.
Yeah.
We only pay for 1 hour of utilities. Is that it?
So, yeah.
All righty. Well, that does conclude this evening's agenda. Anything else anybody wanted to cover before we adjourn?
Make a motion. We adjourn.
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, good.
All right, thanks everybody.